Blog Talk Radio.
The 7, verses 16 and 17. Yes, sir. They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst anymore.
Preach, preach up.
For God shall wipe away,
yes, sir,
every tear from their eyes.
Yes, sir.
Get ready for the revolution.
Come on.
not necessary in entirety, but God is putting forth his truth for, to those that will believe and trust in him. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus, especially my listeners online. I appreciate you all letting me know that you are listening. That's just such a blessing, and what our pastor and Evangelist Sharon did last week, I definitely will let them know that you all appreciate it as well. So at this time, we're going to ask Pastor Bell if she would give us a word of prayer, and we'll get into the lesson. Hallelujah.
Good afternoon, everyone. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor, for that selection. Amen. And the scripture I'd like to share is coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Amen, amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you today thanking you for your word, Father God. We give you thanks for all things, Father God. We're thanking you for those that participate, those who are listening, and those who are listening by internet. Father God, we're just thanking you for our pastor. And Lord, we just give you thanks for everything, Father God. We ask that you will continue to bless the word as it goes forth, Father God, and open up our hearts and our minds that we may hear the word and understand the word, Father God. Lord, we just ask that you would be with those that are sick and shut in, Father God. You said in your word, by your stripes we are healed. Be with those who are bereaved, Father God. We bring in the families to you, Lord. Sister Jamie Tablet, we just ask that you would be with her during her time of bereavement, Father God. And we ask that you would be with those that are going through, those who may be traveling this weekend, Father God. Be with them, Father God. Give them traveling mercies. Lord, we just want to thank you for all things, Lord. And we ask that you continue, Lord, to have your way in our life. Holy Spirit, you are welcome to move in our life, move in this broadcast that we are just on one accord and receiving the word of God. Lord, we give you thanks and we just praise your name in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Who was that pastor you gave?
That was Sister Jamie I think it's Tablet. Probably not saying her name right. T-A-B-L-E, I think. I have to get the correct spelling for my daughter, but yeah, it's a friend of hers.
Okay, awesome. We just want to stand in agreement with that as well. Hallelujah. We thank God for that. We're sharing this week about comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And it's important that you understand that you can't compare oranges and apples, even though both fruit, you can't. That's not a true comparison. You have to compare apples with apples. And so it is.
Mm-hmm.
Lesson, you have to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. So let us read our foundational scripture, then we're going to go back to 1 Kings 18. Some ask the evangelist Sharon if she'll start off with our foundational scripture. She's there. Did I lose her? Yeah, she's there. Okay. And that was 1 Corinthians 2. And I want to say we started the 10th verse through the 14th.
Okay. Good afternoon, Pastor Beasley. Good afternoon to Pastor Bell. Thank you for that selection. Yes, we need to know that we are in a revolution here. And also, Pastor Bell, thank you for that prayer that is also needed. every day. Give us beautiful prayers every day. I'm so grateful. And the King James reads as follows. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of a man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Amen.
Amen, amen. Praise God. Send a message, Bible. The Spirit, not content to float around on the surface, dives into the depths of God and brings out what God planned all along. Whoever knows what you're thinking and planning except you yourself? The same with God, except that he not only knows what he's thinking, but he lets us in on it. God offers a full report on the gifts of life and salvation that he is giving us. We don't have to rely on the world's guesses and opinions. We didn't learn this by reading books or going to school. We learned it from God, who taught us person to person through Jesus, and we're passing it on to you in the same first-hand personal way. The unspiritual self, just as it is by nature, can't receive the gifts of God's Spirit. There's no capacity for them. They seem like so much silliness. Spirit can be known only by Spirit. God's Spirit and our Spirit in open communion. Amen.
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 So the only way a person can understand the things of God, they have to be in the Spirit. That's one reason we have become new creatures. So we become spiritual minded and not carnally minded. And so that's what we're talking about. Back in Elijah's day, Elijah was a spirit man. He was a man who believed in the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Even though there was a prophet and God had other prophets in the land, but Ahab had tried to kill them all. I mean, Jezebel had tried to kill them all. But God spared Abraham. There's so much on my mind. Y'all excuse me for a moment. Okay, so God had inspired Elijah and to stand alone against all the challenges there was. So they came up with the challenge, and we'll just read this. So you all can go to 1 Kings 18. I don't know. I think we could probably start about the 18th, 19th verse. And go down through the 22nd verse.
Okay, that was first.
It was First King.
Yes, thank you, Pastor.
And we went. I think we read from 18 to 22. Is that right, Pastor? Do you remember?
24.
We'll read from 18 to 24. That's good. From 18 to 24. But the idea here, I had asked you all to see the read the whole story, so you can see there was a comparison here with spiritual things, and they was talking about God, and this is what I want you to see, that Elijah was trying to show them who the real God was, so he compared their God with his God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that's pretty much what we do. Today, we want to compare your God with our God. Our God is what the Word of God say he is, and he is, and willing to prove it if necessary. Because I want you to know God. spiritually and not carnally. See, a lot of people know God carnally, but they're not really comparing like they should. They compare God based on their church building, or they compare God based on this preacher, or based on their studies. And no, you got to compare God with spiritual things, because God is a spirit, and he seeks such to worship him in spirit and in truth. Mark 11. That's why this is so important. You learn to compare the right, do the right comparison. That's all I want to say. Do the right comparison. Don't be trying to compare a car with a motorcycle because they both are transportation. You can't do that.
Come
it's about like compare a bus with a tractor trailer, but they both long, you know. That's not a true comparison. You got to compare a truck with a truck, a bus with a bus, like an apple with an apple. Do the right comparison. And when it comes to God, and I think this is worth saying, too, because I said it yesterday, brothers and sisters, when I say the church, and you're going to compare the church, compare it with the church and not with a building, not with an organization, not with your preacher. See, the church is the body of Christ, man. That's what the church is. So when I'm talking church, I'm talking about their Christ. When someone else talking to church, they may be talking about their organization. They may be talking about their building. They may be talking about their order of service. When I talk about the church, I'm talking about the things of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I hope you all can see that. Well, it's the same thing here with Elijah, and we'll go ahead on and read it, and you all can pick the story up and read it when you're at your leisure. But in 1 Kings, if you'll read that evangelist, Sharon, 1 Kings 18, and start with the 18th verse to the 24th verse.
1 Kings 18, okay. Thank you very much. It reads as follows in the King James. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed me. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto a Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal then follow him, and the people answer him not a word, then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, lay it down on wood, and put no fire under, and call ye on the name of your God. And I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire. Let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Amen.
Amen, amen. From the Message Bible, it's not I who has caused trouble in Israel, said Elijah, but you and your government, you've dumped God's ways and commands and run off after the local God, the Baal. Here's what I want you to do. Assemble everyone in Israel at Mount Carmel and make sure that the special texts of Jezebel, the 450 prophets of the local gods, the Baals, and the 400 prophets of the four goddesses, Ezra, are there. So Ahab summoned everyone in Israel, particularly the prophets, to the Mount Carmel. Elijah challenged the people, "How long are you going to sit on the fence? If God is the real God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. Make up your mind." Nobody said a word. Nobody made a move. Then Elijah said, "I'm the only prophet of God left in Israel, and there are 450 prophets of Baal. Let the Baal prophets bring up two oxen. Let them pick one, butcher it, and lay it out on an altar on firewood, but don't ignite it. I'll take the other ox, cut it up, and lay it on the wood, but neither will I light the fire. Then you pray to your God, and I'll pray to God. The God who answers with fire will prove to be, in fact, God." All the people agreed. A good plan. Do it. Amen.
Amen. Well, Israel had gotten to a place that they were listening to other gods, just like a lot of the church today. They listen to a lot of gods. You got so many different gods out here, it's pathetic. And the best way to know the true God is to do a comparison. And that's what Elijah was doing. So when Obadiah told him, "Hey, well, Elijah, don't you remember what I did? I took 100 of God's prophets, and I hid them in the cave, and I fed them. But I'm not going to go tell Ahab you're here, and then he going to kill me too." So Elijah assured Ahab, "You ain't got to worry. Go tell him I'm here, and I'll meet with him, and I'll talk to him, and I'll let him know that he have to let the people of God go." So Ahab told Ahab. So Ahab said, "Okay, I want to see Elijah." Because he, believe it or not, Obadiah's life was at stake. And let me put a pin there, brothers and sisters. Don't get caught up with numbers. Well, these folks, they doing this, and people believe in that. See, there was 450 prophets that Baal had selected to follow that Baalism, I like to call it, because they was following tradition. They were following the God, whatever the people want, the gods that was in the land during that time. See, that's what they was about. Like today, people are following name it and claim it, get rich. If your church ain't about prosperity, it's not of God. People, that's right. You got to compare the real God. You think God would take money from a little old lady? I mean, you think God would take your rent money and actually go pay somebody's fuel bill on a jet? I mean, come on, man. Sometimes you got to do some comparison what the real God is. So that's what Elijah had to be faced with. So he had told him, said, "Well, I'll tell y'all what we'll do. I understand you got your 450 prophets. I'm God's representative here, just me. But I tell you what we do. Y'all take the bullock, and you can go first if you like. Y'all can go first. Do what you have to do. But the God, the real true God, must answer by fire." See, that was the bottom line. The real God is going to answer by fire. So when they got through doing all their stuff, And Elijah said, "Okay, well, call on God. See if he's going to answer." But now here's the revelation. See, you got to get the revelation in this thing. After they laid the bullock on the wood and all that good stuff, Elijah told him, said, "Well, call a little louder. Maybe something going on with him. I don't know. Maybe he's out to lunch, or maybe he's waiting on somebody." Just go ahead, call on him. Holler a little louder. I don't know what it's going to take. I think about this story. I always think about how people want to make God be their God, or make God to be something that God is not. God with the scripture. You got to compare God with the scripture, brothers and sisters. That's how you compare God. That's how you compare spiritual with spiritual.
Yeah,
amen. Somebody kept pray three times a day, because you remember Jesus told them in Matthew's, that's what they do, because they was religious, they was hypocrite. They'll pray at the midday, and they'll tell you when the sun, because people are hypocrite. They know every little saying there is. I'm blessed by this. I mean, they'll go through all of that to make you think that they're really into God. And that's what these people were doing. And so Elijah said, okay, oh, your God ain't going to answer. Let me do my thing. So Elijah, he did a deep. Matter of fact, the revelation in it, that he dig a trench and put water in. He put water in it. Then he turned around and built another altar and placed the meat on top of that. I mean, you got to go and read the story to see the revelation, because you're thinking, okay, where if God is going to answer, he would have answered over there with those guys if they're true God. But no, God always goes on and beyond, brothers and sisters. If anybody have any true God, you ask him for some bread, he's going to give you a loaf. That's how God operates. That's how he operates. When you ask him for a dime, you're going to get a dollar.
Hallelujah.
How I know that. Israel, all they want to do is go across. God made the bottom of the sea dry and fanned them. After he got his across, he let the water come back on Pharaoh's soldiers. But anyway,
amen.
So when Elijah called on God, because the people was confused, he said, how long? And you know, sometimes I ask that question, how long will people continue to remain blind to truth? And I don't know who I'm talking to, but brothers and sisters, you got to want truth, man. You got to stop fighting truth and say, Lord, you know what? I want your truth. And he'll give it to you. So, how long y'all going to hop between two opinions? If God is going to be God, then follow him. And if Baal, then follow him.
When
Elijah
got
to on God, y'all know the story. After he got to calling on God, what happened was, not only did he burn up the bullock and the altar, and he dried up the water. He burnt up the water.
Go see,
that's an awesome miracle. That is an awesome miracle. What happened? But anyway, moving right along. So we're talking about comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And since we have made this brought up the point yesterday about Elijah, I thought I'd get on and finish it out. But let's compare spiritual things with spiritual. We'll go back to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. I told y'all yesterday the 7th chapter said, see, if you're not of God, if you're not in Christ, and I know people don't want to say this, but I want you to know the truth. If you're not in Christ, you're not even subject to God. You don't have to do anything with God. You don't have to. You do it out of whatever reason, but you don't have to, because the Bible says you're not subject to him.
No,
and then the 8th is this. You can't even please God because you're not spiritual. And we're going to read it. You see it. See, if you're not in Christ, you can't even please God. So let's read 8. That's Romans 8. We may run over 2-3 minutes. Romans 8. And we're going to read verses 9 and 10.
Okay. In the King James, it reads as follows, Romans 8, verses 9 and 10. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
For his God.
Amen.
Yes, it is. Amen. From the Message Bible. But if God himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the
yes.
Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for you who welcome him in whom he dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing
Amen.
You alive to himself. Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Eight verse is saying this. It's saying if you're not in Christ, you can't please God. Now, I don't care how many times you pray a day. Doesn't matter
mm-hmm.
what kind of outfit you're putting on. If you're not
Amen.
In Christ, you cannot please God. It's
Hallelujah.
Plain and simple. The ninth verse
Hallelujah.
Says, but you are not in the flesh. See, you're not in the flesh because you're in the spirit. But in
Hallelujah.
The spirit. But in the spirit. See, you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. So to be in the spirit is to be in Christ and to be in his word. So it be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his.
Amen.
Now, you know what? You know that messes some folks up right there, but it's okay, because I used to be there. I used to
mm-hmm.
think I was in God. I used to think I was in Christ. I used to think,
yeah.
I mean, hey, I go to church, I pay my tithes, I do this, I do that.
Right.
My
mm-hmm.
ex-wife, barbecue dinners, man, she said, keep a tan. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That
Amen.
Don't mean you're in Christ. That don't mean you're
That's
in
right.
the spirit. So you have to compare spiritual things with spirit. So you ask, okay, how do you know now? Because the word of God is spirit. And if I stay in the spirit, and I operate in the word, then I'm in the spirit of God and rightly dividing the word of truth. See, now you got to rightly divide things. You can't just say, oh, well, I read the word. Reading the word is not getting it, brothers and sisters. You have to be in Christ. So he says, and if Christ be in you. See, the only way Christ can be in you is you in Christ.
Yeah.
Then the body
Amen.
Is dead. But the spirit is life. Because of righteousness, excuse me. So he said, if you're not in Christ or have no Christ, that's why I was talking about the people who claim to be, to know God, but they're not in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
See, a lot of people opposes Christ. You may not know who they are. They may have Christ on their door, but they opposes Christ because they won't teach what Christ taught.
Have mercy.
Have mercy.
Christ taught that we're the church, but they won't teach that.
Mm-hmm.
They'll teach you come to church, be the church. But see, they won't teach you to be the church. They'll teach you to come to church. Big difference. Big difference.
Yeah.
When you compare spiritual things with spiritual. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Know ye not that you are the body? Well, no, this is our body. No, you're the body of Christ. That's spiritual.
Amen.
You understand? You have to compare spiritual things with spiritual. And in Romans 8:10 said there is two natures here. You either live in a righteous life or you live in a sinful life.
Mm-hmm.
You either living by Holy Spirit that's dwelling in you, or you living by no Holy Spirit. I don't care how many times you dance, how many times you jump up and down, and you get people to think, and, you know, they making movies where people imitating somebody in the church, and they doing this little holy dance, and that's what they say, and you think, oh, yeah, man, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Baloney. That's a bunch of mm-hmm. foolishness, people.
Yeah.
Holy Ghost, it doesn't do that. You got to get a teaching on the Holy Ghost and what it does. It teaches.
Yeah.
It's God.
Yeah.
I don't see nothing
mm-hmm.
wrong with. I don't see anything wrong with dancing. I know you don't. I know you because you're in the flesh. See, until you come out of the flesh, you'll never see the spiritual thing. That's what the lesson is saying. Listen, man. The lesson is saying you won't get it. Because the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God.
Amen, amen.
Him. And neither can they know them. You can't even know them.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually understood. So if you're going
yes.
to stand the spiritual things, you got to get spirit. Spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
I read somewhere in that it says, you must be spiritual. It kind of reminds me of what Jesus said to Nicodemus. You must be born again. It's a must.
Mm-hmm.
See, when it's a must, I like what the young people say nowadays. They go, period.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, period.
Yeah.
Like, you must be born again, period.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That part, Pastor yeah. Beasley, that part.
mm-hmm.
Yeah, must be born again, period. And that's what he's saying. You really hear this? He's saying that, you know, you got to become spiritual.
Yeah.
Because if you're not spiritual, you're not being taught by the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And get away from all of this. It's just so many words I could use. But it's just nonsense.
Right.
You got to get away from that. And you got to be able to discern the difference between somebody preaching truth and somebody taking the Word of God and making it fit in their box so they can get you
yeah.
to understand it. See, that's not being spiritual.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not.
That's right. That's right.
See, the words that we speak is not the words of man's wisdom. Man got a lot of wisdom. Let me be clear.
That's right.
Man got a lot of wisdom. But we're not, the Holy Ghost doesn't teach in man's wisdom. It doesn't do
That's
that.
Right.
Amen. Come on now. Say it.
But what it teaches is spiritual things, and it compares
yeah.
spiritual things with spiritual.
Hallelujah.
That's what it compares to be. Now, the natural man, he won't get it. He can't receive
Amen.
It.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And he know it because he are spiritually discerned. And like I said, I
mm-hmm.
read somewhere the other day in these same scriptures that you must be spiritual to get
yeah.
an understanding. And I don't know how clear that is when he said you must be. Spiritual
mm.
to get an understanding. That's period, as far as I'm concerned. So, because
yeah,
I've tried him.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to put you, brothers and sisters, because I'm going to, what is that man talking about? Because it didn't sound right. It didn't fit in what I was accustomed to. It was not
right.
homiletic range. See, some sermons have to be homiletically arranged so you can follow when you're in the world. They have to put it in an order. Like sometimes people have a 3-point sermon or 5-point sermon, a presentation. See, that's all man's wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And they try
yeah.
to prove God. You see, you'll never have to prove God. God will always prove himself.
Come Amen.
On. Say that, Pastor.
Challenge you today. God will always prove himself. When Elijah called on him, God proved himself. He didn't try to prove
mm-hmm.
Elijah. God proved himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you, he's a healer. He's a deliverer.
Yes.
Yeah, I can tell you this day long.
Stay
but I challenge you today. Go find out for yourself. Because God
mm-hmm.
wants you to have the mind of Christ. That's what people don't want you to know.
Yeah.
They don't want you to know that. You get the mind of Christ,
yeah.
what they going to tell you? They can't tell you jack.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
All right
yeah.
now.
Amen.
They tell you not, because you got the mind of Christ. And that's
yeah,
not being arrogant.
Yeah.
But it's what it is. You're going to step and agree with the things of God.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
so whatever Jesus said to do, you don't have any problem with it.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Say that, Pastor.
He said, be in Christ. You don't have no problem. You're not going to debate if you're going to be in Jesus or if you're going to be in Christ, because the word of God is real plain. Therefore, if any man be in Christ,
mm-hmm.
so you're not going to
Amen.
Debate it. You're going to receive it. See, that's the key
mm-hmm.
to God anyway. Many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God because they received him.
Absolutely.
See? That's how that works.
Yeah.
Hey, I pray
Thank
maybe you, I don't know. Pastor, you had anything you wanted to say? Before today, Friday, and I know we had a review on Sunday, but I don't know if the Lord put anything in any of you guys' heart. We're going to take a few minutes and let you speak on it.
Amen, amen. I just enjoyed the lesson on Elijah and how he let the people know that God is real, and those false gods, when you read further in the... in that chapter, they were destroyed because of that, because of their unbelief and because they were false. So I like it that, you know, Elijah let them know God is God, and what God says, he'll do. And it's the same today. All we got to do is put our trust in him. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You have a word, Evangelist Sharon.
Well, I'm still stuck on the Message Bible, the way it ended. It tells you clearly, just blow by blow, this is plain as the nose on your face. It says, we believe in something that's invisible. And I think that's what's holding people up, because they don't want to believe in the invisible. They want to be able to use their five senses all the time. But God has something greater planned for us. Because we're spiritual people, so we're going to live in the realm of spiritual. Thank God we do have five senses. We're human. We're in this human experience. We need them. But we need most of all what people are forgetting. What we need most of all, what our bodies are starving, is for our spiritual food, which is the word of God. We need to be living in the spirit. We need to be taken from the source that put us here and being grateful and thankful for it. That's what we need to be doing. And it's a must. And like Pastor said, like they say now, period.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor and Evangelist Sharon. No, just let's not forget, 1 Peter 2, God have given us everything pertaining to godliness, which is spiritual. He's given it to us. You don't have to fight over.
That's right.
See, he's given spirit of life. Where is it at? If you want the spirit of life, it's in Christ Jesus, not in Jesus Christ now.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Praise
like
God.
Romans
Praise
8,
God.
It said there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, not Jesus Christ. Because, see, Jesus Christ is the flesh. Christ Jesus is the spirit. But we don't walk after we walk after the spirit. Big difference.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's where you spiritual things with spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
What set you free? Because you gave your life to the Lord? No, that's not what set you free. Because you joined the church? No, that's not what got you free. I'll tell you what got you free. Oh, the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. That's what separated you from flesh. It was the spirit
Amen.
Of life that's in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
That's where it's at. That's why I continue and I constantly beg people and plead with people, get in Christ. Don't just say it. Know you're in Christ.
Amen.
That's where that new power is at. That's where that operating power is at. That's where that new eye-opening power is at. That's where that new understanding is at. It's in Christ.
Amen.
Yeah. If you get in Christ, then you can understand you have righteousness. Other than that, you're going to be carnally minded, and you'll be like half a, well, maybe three-quarters of the people that say they Christian. They go, oh, well, you can't be perfect. You're absolutely right because you're in the flesh. You get in the spirit, and you'll say, oh, well, God's word say I can be spirit. I can be perfect. I'm going to be perfect. You'll figure it out. But as long as you get in, you'll never figure it out. Because you're carnal.
Praise
and the carnal man will understand the spiritual thing. How God going to make you perfect? You ain't no better than I am. Yes, I am. Sorry.
Hallelujah.
Perfect. And because Christ is perfect, that makes me perfect.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen.
And yes, you have an advocator. If you slip up, you have an advocator.
Yes.
But anyway, y'all stay blessed, and we'll see y'all on Sunday.